Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. We have had 3 weeks off. Unfortunately, TJ was under the weather last week, lost his voice, and could not participate. It is difficult to do a podcast when that happens. But anyway, we're going to discuss whether or not the college football playoff should expand. But first, we have a word from our sponsor, SeatGeek. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you, kind of like Kayak and buying airplane tickets. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks great deals, a yellow dot for good deals, and a red dot, not so good deals. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have tickets. And right now, we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you doing on this fine June evening?
Yeah, doing very well. Past couple days have been postcard weather. This certainly doesn't feel near as bad as summer usually feels in Indiana. But I'm looking forward to our talk today about the playoff, and then after that, our episodes are really going to start to look earnestly toward the 2019 season, which I'm really pumped about.
Yeah, and getting into it, we are less than 89 days away. It was 89 days at noon today. IU does kick off at Lucas Oil Stadium on August 31st at noon against Ball State. That game is going to be on CBS Sportsnet. So people who do not get that, get out your transistor radio, sit out on the porch, listen to Don and Buck, and or follow us on Twitter. It's one of those channels where, because it's a Ball State home game, the MAC channel gets it, and that's CBS Sportsnet. So, call your cable provider or find something online. Reddit has different streams and things like that. So that's how you'll get that game. We'll talk more about that later. We'll talk more about the season later. But right now we're talking about the college football playoff. Whether it should expand or not, what needs to be tweaked, whether we like it or not. So the college football playoff, TJ, was brought to bring an end to the BCS. The first year was 2014. It was to take the four best teams in the country, have them play each other, and get not one true champion like the Big 12, but a more accurate, fair champion, which – we'll discuss whether or not that it has been successful, but the college football playoff is at four teams. It's supposed to be the four best teams or the four most deserving teams, which is another argument in and of itself. But it's two semifinal games. It rotates between Rose, Sugar, Orange, Cotton, Fiesta, and Peach Bowls, and it's becoming very controversial. So, TJ, what are your initial thoughts of the college football playoff? You'll go, and then I'll give my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the initial question of do you like it, yes or no, for me it's a yes. And I'm using that as kind of a sliding scale of what I previously knew, which was the bowl system, just voting on a champion, and then obviously the evolution of that to the BCS. So, in my opinion, the current system is light years ahead of those in terms of determining a fair, true champion. So, if I look back at what I previously know and compare it to that, I really, really like it. I think it is a much better system than what we have previously had. And I do think that, you have to look at the integrity of the regular season and the interest of the regular season. And in my opinion, that has not been damaged. I still feel that every Saturday is a really huge one. And that one loss could potentially throw your national title hopes into major dismay. Now, I do think that there are some issues with the current playoff system, and I do think there are some improvements that could be made. But if I'm tasked with, do I think that the playoff system has improved college football or hurt college football, I would, have a very strong opinion that it has improved it overall.
Yeah, my biggest fear with college football playoff was that it was going to ruin the regular season. And, college football is unique in that every week matters, whether it's week one or week 14, every week matters. It's just, as awesome as March Madness is, it's really a terrible way to pick a champion, like a real champion. And it's who really cares about, outside of the fan bases of those teams, who really cares about, some of these big opening games in November, as opposed to, let's say Alabama's playing Clemson in the opener, or there's really no games like that this year, but you always have one of the big marquee games. Next year it's going to be LSU Texas. They're almost elimination games in August and September, and that's what I love about the college football season, and that's what my big fear was of the playoff. Now the 14 playoff, you're leaving out a Power 5 school. You're supposed to reward teams for scheduling harder opponents. And if you go four best teams, Alabama might lose two games and still be the best team. It's a hard criteria to guess. That was the deserving teams. We've seen we haven't seen that many different teams in the playoff. You've had Alabama's been in it five times, Clemson three, Ohio State's been in there twice, and then Georgia, Oregon, Florida, Michigan State, Notre Dame, and Washington have been in it one. So there are a lot of teams that have no shot of making the college football playoff, and that goes from UCF, who had won 24 games in a row, five games in a row, and to, an Iowa team that needed somebody to lose two games if they went on defeated in over the season, playing in a power conference. See, I think, I'm not a big fan of the playoff. It's sure, if you want to expand it to six games, it might be better. At what point, when do you stop? Is my point. Do you stop at six? Do you stop at five? Do you stop at eight? Do you go 16? And then if you do that, those games in the middle of the year, that LSU-Alabama matchup, or Ohio State-Wisconsin, or Ohio State-Michigan at the end of the year, those games really don't – okay, well, if Ohio State and Michigan are 1-2 going into the final week of the season, Michigan's really going to drop to 8, and they're going to leave them out if they lose and go 11-1, and Ohio State's beats them by 2 points. You're really going to leave them out? It's hard to see that happening. But to me, it's you're going down a slippery slope with playoff expansion. The games have been entertaining, at least the final games. Some of these semifinal games, especially the last few that the Big Ten have been in, have been laughers. Although sometimes it is entertaining seeing Ohio State get the brains beat in. I'm not going to lie about that. That was really fun to watch. And the money's big. People will watch it. All these things are made for TV anyway, and people will say, well, I like the bowl system because teams like IU or Purdue, Northwestern, they are such long shots for the college football. If IU goes 12-0, are we really going to consider putting IU in against these teams? Yeah, that means they've beaten Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Purdue, and whoever else is on the schedule in non-conference, and they probably are one of the most deserving teams in the country. But then you have a panel goes, okay, well, they're IU. They're not, you know, let's, God forbid, there's a one-loss SEC team, an undefeated SEC champion, an undefeated Pac-12 champion. You know, at some point, the odds are so astronomical, even just for IU to beat in Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State, let alone all in the same year, that it's you're really limiting college football's national title to you know, five conferences and maybe the top two teams in each conference. And even then, it's, you know, you've seen the Pac-12 being left out. The Big Ten has been left out, and the Big 12 has been left out. So I think they need to keep the bowl system in terms of, yeah, people say it's a participation trophy. They move it to a 60-18 playoff, like the NCAA tournament. That 16 seed who's going to lose to Alabama by 40 points, you're going to be happy about being a 16 seed in the college football playoff and get your brains beat in. That, I mean, that's more of a participation trophy than having two more evenly matched teams play. Sure, it's an exhibition game, but at the end of the day, they win something. It's, you know, you're celebrating a college football playoff or a March Madness berth. Unless you win the whole thing, everything's a participation trophy. So I think there's a happy medium somewhere in there in terms of expansion, where I think all five Power Five schools deserve a shot, and then one at large. But there's definitely changes that need to be made. TJ, what changes or expansion changes would you make?
Well, I do believe, number one, I think expansion, while not inevitable, I do believe it is very likely with the next television contract that's signed, which I want to say is 2024, is when this current rights deal expires. I think that when that next TV contract is up for negotiation, I do think that there will be a strong, strong push for expansion. And the model that I have heard that I'm most intrigued by, and I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, I have the answers to make this a perfect formula, because I don't know if that exists, because it does differ so much from year to year. What some years you look at it and say, well, you know, there's really two teams that stand out above the rest, and teams 3 through 8 are evenly matched, or teams 3 through 12 are evenly matched, or maybe some years you've got three teams which are head and shoulders above the rest, or, you know, it's going to differ year to year what looks like perfect. So I do not know what the perfect model would be, if there is one, but the model that I'm most intrigued by that I have seen is an expansion to 6, giving the top two teams byes. So you have incentive to be one of those top two teams, which I think keeps interest up. Is this, you know, the fan bases of the top 4 or 5 teams are, you know, following that race, if you will, for the top two seeds to get a bye into the Final Four, and then seed 3 and 6 play each other, and seeds 4 and 5 play each other, and I'd be in favor of having those games hosted on campus. Game, you know, team 3 hosts team 6, team 4 hosts team 5, and then the winners advance to the semifinals, which would, you know, resemble what we, or match what we currently have, and that rotates it at bowl sites, and then you have the winners of those games going to the national championship. You know, I think that would be a, you know, a mild expansion, but also somewhat of a radical variation on what we currently have, because you would have two, you know, quarterfinal games, if you will, that would be on site. You know, think about perhaps a game in, I don't know, mid-December between maybe Ohio State's a 3 seed and, I don't know, like a Central Florida would be a 6 seed, or, you know, the 4 seed, maybe your Pac-12 champ, Washington. So you've got a quarterfinal game hosted there at Husky Stadium in front of the Sound. Like, that would that'd be an incredible atmosphere. It really would. And I think that'd be very college football to have those on campus, and then you progress to the current bowls. I do want to definitely keep the bowl system intact because, you know, in my opinion, it's really two different sports that the majority of the teams compete on, and then, you know, your top-tier programs are competing on. They're just two totally different goal sets, really. You know, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, they enter each season with a goal of a national title in mind the majority of the time. Indiana and a lot of other programs are entering it with a very different goal in mind, and that's, you know, maybe it's to get to 8 wins or to get to 6 wins or reach a bowl game. You know, every program has their own goals, their own standards. And those goals, those bowl games allow for that to exist, and for, you know, Indiana to, if there were not bowl games, and let's say, you know, you're comparing it to a, I don't know, like a NBA or something, Indiana's goal would be to get an 8 seed to squeak into a playoff. And that's just, you know, there's not a lot of interest there for me to follow that. However, if it's, hey, we're trying to build our program by making a bowl game, you know, then suddenly, hey, there's more interest for me because every game towards that 6 definitely matters. So I definitely want to keep that bowl system in place. But in terms of the playoff, I think that that expansion model, and I'm not sure how that would look. If it would, I think the most logical one would be your 5 conference champions of the Power 5, then your 1 at large, which you could mandate has to come from the group of 5. Or, you know, so that you could have that group of 5, whoever the best group of 5 team is, you could have them automatically selected to be one of those 6. Or you could just say, you know what, we're just going to choose the 6 best or the 6 most deserving teams, and we'll decide from there. Obviously, that could be problematic because then you might just say, well, still, Central Florida is going to be locked out of this thing because we've decided that they are not one of the 6 most deserving, or they're not one of the 6 best. We don't care if they were undefeated. We saw who they played, and we don't think they're good enough to compete at that level. You might still run into that. So you could perhaps legislate in that one of these 6 spots has to be for a group of 5 team. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that particular part of it. I think it's forced to choose.
You could have one of those years where the group of 5, you know, that
sure,
champion or whatever, 2-3 losses, and they're just not very good.
Yeah. And then you're looking at a blowout semifinal game where they have, that's a 6 seed, and they have to travel to, let's say, a Ohio State. So they're traveling to Columbus to take on, you know, let's say a 12-1 Ohio State team, that's the 3 seed, and, you know, getting beat on national TV in the middle of December in Columbus by, you know, 20 points or whatever. How entertaining is that? I mean, not necessarily great. Whereas maybe a 6 seed otherwise would be a, I don't know, 10-2 LSU team, let's say, that, you know, lost to Alabama, who's like a 1 seed, and then maybe dropped a game on the road to like a Auburn or a Georgia, and was a very good team, clearly, but they lost two close games to SEC teams. Now, what if that 6 seed LSU team is going to 3 seed Ohio State? To me, that's much more interesting. And if you're just going after what's interesting and perhaps biggest bucks in terms of viewership, I think that the, you know, hypothetical 6 seed LSU or 6 seed Georgia or 6 seed Florida State, if they get their crap together at an Ohio State in middle of December, I think that that matchup would scream big time college football ratings. So maybe that option would be one that would be more palatable to the decision makers.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, like last year was one of those years where everybody knew basically from week one to the end of the year,
yeah,
it's going to be Alabama and Clemson. And yeah, some teams put a scare into each of them, and it was, you know, you're probably better off playing a, you know, like the BCS, just these are the two best teams, let's play. And for me, another part that goes into it and expanding it, and I like that, that those first games have to be on campus. It is so, it's so unfair to ask these fans to travel to these bowl sites during the most expensive travel time of the year, around Christmas and New Year's, and go to, you know, California, which is an absurdly expensive place to travel to anyway. Last year's playoff was at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. IU was out there in the whatever bowl it was called, the Foster Farms Bowl, now the Red Box Bowl, out there in 2016. Flights were, you know, $600-$700 because it's last minute. Hotels weren't cheap. You had to stay either in San Francisco, which is like the most expensive place in the world, or you stayed in San Jose, which, you know, is a nice city, but it's not as nice as San Francisco, and everything's going to be in San Francisco anyway. And then you have to pay to get stadium. Then you have to pay to get tickets. And not to mention that if you're like a real diehard fan of the team, you're probably paying to go, you know, to the Sugar Bowl or wherever those other games are, you know, the Rose Bowl. You could make 2 trips out to California and stay there for 10 days or fly back and forth or fly to Florida. It's just the prices for fans are outrageous. And especially college football, the great thing are campus games. It's, I've been saying it for years, is games on campus. You have the students, you have the band, you know, it's just, that's part of tradition. And you're losing, you think college students could afford to go to a playoff game or 2 playoff games or even 3, let's say you're a 6 seed and make a run, 3, it's starting to get expensive. Now, if you play on campus, that takes, you know, students, it's kind of will fall. If you play right after the conference championship games, I would put you about at the 14th of December, which usually is around finals week. If you put it the next week, everybody has a bye to make it a little bit more even on time off. That puts you at December 21st, which is usually that first weekend of bowl games, right around Christmas. Students are off campus. It's kind of like, you know, having rivalry week on Thanksgiving weekend where it's just the atmosphere is a little bit different, but I'm sure there's some students who would come back if it's held like a regular season game. ticket allotments, you're getting into a lot of technical stuff now. I'm down that rabbit hole. But, you know, ticket allotments, how many tickets do you give to UCF and things like that? Is it going to be, you know, a 50-50 split like a bowl game? Is it going to be, you know, a regular season game where you have your whatever 10,000 seats at Ohio Stadium get sent down to UCF for their fans to buy and then sent back? I like having the game on campus, though, but there's still a lot of stuff to work out. Six teams is probably what I like the best, and you got to get to the point where teams aren't scheduling, and that you schedule so far in advance. So let's say UCF is going to schedule, let's say they would play Florida State this year. Florida State was 5-7 last year, but they had probably scheduled that game 10 years ago when Florida State was running big games.
Boise State is playing Florida State this year, and Boise State could hypothetically, be that group of five team. That's possible.
Yeah, but if let's say Boise State goes down there and beats Florida State, and Florida State ends up as a 6-6 team, that's now going to be held against them. Well, they scheduled Florida State. Florida State's not as good as it used to be. Now, Florida State goes 10-2, and Boise State is beaten. That's okay. You know, now you're cooking. So there's a lot of things that go into it. I do think six games is the best. Got to keep the bowl system. People don't realize this when they talk about the bowl. They're made for TV. It doesn't matter if there's 15 people in the stands or 150,000 people in the stands. They're made for TV, and that's where they get all their money. They're made for, you know, people are usually home during the holidays, maybe a little bit earlier in the afternoon, and work is a little bit more relaxed. It's content that writes itself, and you know, live game content is the best kind of content to me. Selfishly, as a teacher, with weeks off in December, there is nothing better than watching the Bahamas Bowl on a day afternoon when it's, you know, minus 50 degrees out in Indianapolis. It's, you know, and watching a 45-42 shootout game between, you know, Central Michigan and Western Kentucky. That's just me. Now, there might be 15,000 people at that game, but it's something to watch. It's something that I haven't seen before that I will probably carve out, hey, I need 3.5-4 hours to watch this game, and you could watch that game and do lesson plans or anything else that goes around with it. So that's my take on the bowl system. The college football playoff should probably be set at six. They need to figure out what are we looking at. It can't change every single year. Is it if you have the most difficult schedule and go 10-2 and win your conference championship, is it that? Is it, well, you didn't really have the hardest schedule and you beat some great teams but get – blown out by some mediocre teams? Do you leave them out? There has to be a more defined criteria to do that. And then it also has to come down to the conferences. Big Ten plays 9 conference games. The SEC plays 8 conference games. Whereas, you know, you look at Ohio State the last 2 years, that crossover game where they got blown out at Iowa and where they got shellacked at Purdue, that game might not have happened if you're playing 8 games. Let's say, for argument's sake, that's that 9th game where you go, okay, well, Ohio State, maybe now they play Cincinnati, or, you know, they play, Miami
of Ohio.
Yeah, and win that game 56-7 or 8,000-0 or, you know, whatever they would put on, you know, those two teams. Instead of a conference road game in a supercharged environment where they had bad days, but give credit to Iowa and Purdue, they played out of their minds. But going into Kinnick Stadium at night in October is always going to be difficult. Going into Ross-Ade Stadium at night against Jeff Brohm's team is going to be it's going to be a lot more difficult than playing at noon against Miami of Ohio at Ohio Stadium. So the Big Ten or the rest of the Power Five needs 9 games, or the Big Ten and whoever else has 9 games needs to go back to 8 games, because Kevin Wilson media day a couple years ago, you're taking a chance, with that 9th game, you're guaranteeing the conference goes 7-7. Whereas
yep.
You could theoretically go 14-0 or 13-1, whatever it is, it's going to be better than 7. It could be better than 7-7 if you schedule it smartly. So they need – things need to be on an even playing field. The Big Ten playing 9 conference games, it's come back to bite them in the rear end. Ohio State, if it's that cross, it's that extra crossover game where, Iowa and Purdue don't get to see Ohio State that often. That game is a special game. That's when you go, you look on the calendar, in 2025, Ohio State's coming back. Okay. You know what? 2025, we're going. Pack up the car, let's go. That's a game that people have circled on their calendars for years. And it's inevitable that's going to happen. And that kept those 2 losses kept Ohio State out of the playoff, whereas Ohio State probably put a bite against Alabama or Clemson with the offense that they had. So they need to even the playing field. Probably expand it to 6 games, but once they start expanding, it's gonna overexpand. It's gonna kill the regular season, nobody can guarantee me that it's not gonna do those things. At what point? Okay, well, there's the argument between 4 and 5 now. Okay, well, then there's gonna be an argument between 7. Let's move it to 8 games. Then it's gonna be 8 and 9. You're never going to keep everybody happy, and there's always going to be an argument for somebody to be better than somebody on the fringe, but I think the smaller it's kept, the better. And maybe you have one of these sliding scale of teams where, okay, clearly Clemson and Alabama are the 2 best teams. Now, logistics, it's a logistical nightmare, but Alabama and Clemson are the 2 best teams. They're going to play in the national title game, where it's more like a BCS system. But it's a logistical nightmare, because God forbid Alabama loses in the SEC title game to Georgia, or Clemson loses late in the year and things like that. But at what point is it, okay, Alabama beat Ole Miss by 30, then we go to an 18 playoff, and they're playing, maybe a 2-loss Michigan team and take them to the woodshed or something like that. At some point, the game has become unentertaining, and a lot of these semifinal games have been. There have been a few really good ones, but the last couple years have been we know who the 2 best teams are. It's Clemson and Alabama. It's going to be Clemson and Alabama probably again this year. I think that's bad for the sport. So final thoughts, TJ?
I do agree with you. Clemson and Alabama have certainly dominated the in terms of titles. I do think, for me, I'm always going to be in favor of what I feel generates interest. What do I want to watch? And for me, having an argument of, hey, we can decide here 1 through 6, you've got the argument of who are the top 6, and then you've got another argument within that argument. of, you know, who are the top two to get those pivotal buys. And in football, that's a huge deal. And then you've mm-hmm. got the arguments of, all right, so who are three and four because they get to host those on-campus games. So for me, that system brings up a ton of talking points, a ton of interest, and a lot of things to watch for every Saturday as teams try to make their case for that. And then you keep that traditional bowl system, whereas a game between, four and four Indiana and, 5-3 Northwestern, would, generally speaking, in the Midwest, not even going to generate anybody's interest. But for Big Ten fans or Midwest football fans, you know, you're looking at it as, oh, hey, those are two teams jockeying for bowl position and trying to get to that sixth win. So you'd have a middling matchup that doesn't matter at all. So then you add some stakes to it when you've got these bowl games in place, whereas, hey, Northwestern going for a win to try and improve their bowl position, maybe get themselves to a nice end of December, early January bowl game, or with a loss, they're back to battling for eligibility at all. And on the other side, you've got Indiana looking for a win to set themselves up to get to a bowl game. I just think it adds a lot more talking point, a lot more stakes, if you will, for every game. And sports, while fun in general, just when you add stakes to it, I think it makes it more compelling. And the more stakes you can have, the better for me. So I'm in favor of the playoff, in favor of, I think, making it a little better by having those tweaks and adjustments to get to six. I'll be very interested to see what the talking points are as they begin negotiations for that next TV contract, which, of course, whatever they decide is going to be whatever the decision makers have decided. We believe that this will maximize our profit. That will be the driving factor behind all of it. That should surprise absolutely nobody.
Yeah, it's all about – everything's all about money. I really like the six. Tweak it. I think all Power 5 teams Power 5 conferences need a shot. Unless it's that one year where one of the conferences, you know, the conference, let's say Northwestern beat Ohio State in the conference title game last year, then that throws a wrench into that. But that's a problem you handle when you get to it. And, you know, six games makes sense. It keeps the luster of the regular season and keep some of these local rivalries and things intact. I'd like to see it, you know, it's already super regional, but I'd like to see, you know, the stakes at some of these regional games, you know, the Egg Bowl, the Bucket Game, things like that, these games at the end of the year kind of get highlighted a little bit more. But, you know, with the six team playoff, Mississippi State's really not going to have any national bearing, and it's more for those SEC fans and things like that, diehard college football fans. And that's, I think, what people need to realize. What's great about college football is all these rivalries, teams that have been playing each other and hating each other for close to 100 years, and they usually always meet at that, you know, that last Saturday of November now. And there got to be some pride, and that's what people have to realize, that's what college football is. It's not these crazy money-making playoffs and all that stuff. It's these rivalries. It's Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Florida State, Miami, Florida, or Miami, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina. There are games where you just take the records off the table, and people are interested. And so hopefully it doesn't take away from that. And hopefully the college football playoff committee becomes more defined. I think one of the worst things that they've done is, you know, push back, come out with their rankings earlier and earlier. It kind of kind of hurts things, kind of also shapes people's opinions a little too much. Go in, watch the games. These people have to watch every single game. It's the only way I trust. Oh, we're only going to – you can't be like, oh, we're only going to watch the top 10 teams. Well, maybe there's Boise State, who's, you know, number 24 in September, playing against, you know, a solid Mountain West team. That game's at 10:30 at night, and you're not really watching it. Or, you know, some of these Pac-12 games that are on some ridiculous channel at some ridiculous time and things like that. Find people who are both knowledgeable about the sport and also will sit down and watch these games and go, hey, this team's better than that team. And we'll see if that happens. Anyway, that does it for today's podcast. TJ, thanks for joining me on this lovely June evening. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com. As always, we're in the middle of our countdown. Also, Antoine Randall is on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot for the consecutive year, I believe. Hopefully he gets in. He deserves it. If people haven't watched Antoine Randall, he was one of the most electric, if not the most electric player in the Big Ten at that time. Changed that game with the option quarterbacks, these dual threat quarterbacks. He was a thrill to watch. So he really deserves it to go into the Hall of Fame. He's a guy who changed the way the game is played. Now the numbers are outstanding too, and he probably would have put up bigger numbers had he played in this era instead of in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. But good on him. We're wishing him the best of luck. We've got 89 days until the kickoff. We have previews, opponent previews coming up, positional previews, opponent preview ranking. All stuff you need to know going into the season will have come out here in the next few months. Anyway, TJ, thanks for joining us. Any last words?
No, thanks everybody for listening, and we will be back next time as we start to look at some individual matchups and do some fun, not lists necessarily, but just some fun topics, I guess you'd say, as it relates to the 2019 season. And I think we're going to start with, you know, our favorite or most interesting non-conference battles around the country. So I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely always fun talking about places we'd like to tailgate, best uniforms,
yep.
games we want to watch, sit down and watch, games we wish we could attend. Things like that. So please join us. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. You can download the podcast wherever you get your podcast from as well. That'll do it for tonight's show. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about more college football news.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.